No more we'll count ourselves our own, but his in bonds of love. Oh, may such bonds forever draw our souls to things above. Let's sit. It's cold, so get close. I see more coats out there than normal. It is now just shy of 2 weeks to inauguration, and so this particular feast day is timely, and the reason for that will make sense here shortly. We're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God and citizenship therein. So that's the context. We're people who live in a real place. There's real stuff happening around us, and we are folks both in this time and place and people who hearken a message that is eternal into that reality. So that's where we find ourselves. Happy New Year. It's good to be back among you. I had a couple Sundays off. Thank you to the fantastic folks who make things happen much better when I'm away, actually. I got to listen in on the recordings, and I didn't hear any boos or hisses or catcalls, only cheering, in fact, for our preacher while I was away. So the pressure's on, Anna. Thank you. It is familiar enough to us, perhaps, that we disregard the wisdom of it, particularly in political seasons, but we hear it time and again, this notion that all politics are personal. Actually, let me test. Has anyone ever heard that? Yeah. All politics is personal. All politics is personal. That is to say that it is our personal experience that shapes us and gives us a vision and a set of core commitments and maybe even a set of practices by which to exercise our political creaturehood, that we're political creatures, and we've got every tool we need through life's experience to engage that with what we've got. All politics is personal. My personal experience I've shared with you before, the great inventory and the great litany of my background as a middle child and all that that means for my angst. Being the eldest son in a divorced household, being a redhead in a non-redheaded world, being freckled before freckles were cute or cool. I was also husky at a time when Levi's 501s came out, which were not cut for me. They were cut for other people. So I was a husky kid trying to fit into 501s. So there's that. That I bring to my political creaturehood. There's an edge that I bear with me about that. I also am from an agricultural part of the world where we earn our living off the land. Commodities are a big deal in the Northwest, so I'm from that part of the world where our relationship with nature is, on the one hand, that we adore it because it is beautiful there, and we extract from that beauty. And there's a delicate balancing act. So my relationship with organizations like the EPA, for example, is complex. That's part of my reality. I am also the product of a family with a military history. I'm the product of a family with a mother who was a registered nurse and who was about public health and public safety. And so sex ed and the issues of family planning have a certain political static for me as being brought up in that. I take certain things for granted, having grown up with a mom who overshared about all things medical and sexual, sort of took the mystery out of all of it. That's part of my background as well. It is also part of my background that I'm a product of the public schools and proud of it. I am also the product of a household that survived on public benefits most of my childhood in the form of food stamps. If we didn't have food stamps as a creature of our collective care for one another, I would have starved. Our family would have gone hungry without that. We had energy assistance programs through the church and through public entities in the city that I grew up in. I was always on scholarship as the kid who needed some support to be able to get to diocesan church camp. That's part of who I am as a human being and what I bring to my political preacherhood. I also am the beneficiary of the free and reduced lunch program in school, without which I would have gone hungry every day of junior high and high school. I would have not had the energy to participate in after-school sports. I would have had to limp home to find something to eat, crackers or otherwise. And that's part of who I am as a human being. That's part of what I bring to my political creaturehood, is that set of experiences which all comes together to be a certain worldview. And I'd be lying if I didn't admit that that shapes my core commitments. It helps me personalize those things I think are most important when I participate in political process, right? So you just need to know that about me, and I think it's important that you know that, and I hope that you will pay attention to those things, particularly moving forward, that are your personal experience that you bring to your political creaturehood, because it's important that we're honest about that, that we name it and not take it for granted. It's ironic to me that in this season, just following the season of the Incarnation, we've now slid into Epiphany and have just finished those 12 days of Christmas, during which we focus on the incarnation of the Word in a person, Jesus. I've always found it ironic that we swiftly move to talking about him in esoteric terms like light and love and wisdom, all these things that suggest that perhaps Jesus didn't really have a personhood, that Jesus didn't really have a 30-some years of personal experience as a human being that might shape his political creaturehood. It's easy for us to forget that we've just heard all these incredible stories about the myriad ways it could have been that we didn't get to Christmas, right? Do we remember all of the stories about the possibilities that perhaps Mary thought the angel was crazy, or that she herself was crazy? Have we forgotten the possibility that Joseph would have simply dismissed her to protect his own ego? Have we forgotten the death of all the holy innocents because poor Herod's little tender ego couldn't bear the possibility that there was a new king in town? Do we remember all of these possibilities of Jesus not ever showing up among us, not ever even being a person, let alone Jesus surviving all these little parts of his family history? You see, Jesus comes to this occasion just a few days after Christmas. Jesus comes to this occasion with 30-some years of lived experience. Jesus comes to this occasion at the Jordan River with a whole myriad of stories that his family has shared with him about what it took for him to come to be in the first place. Jesus, you'll never believe what happened. You almost weren't here. Jesus, you're not going to believe what King Herod did. Jesus, do you remember the stories of the tragedy of all your peers who didn't make it? Do you remember our collective trauma that we've experienced as a people in this empire? Do you remember all that? Do you remember that we had to flee to a different country to save your life? Do you remember that you were a foreigner in a foreign land? Do you remember that, Jesus, about yourself? Jesus, do you remember that after you left exile and returned home, you came back an immigrant? Do you remember that you came back with needs? Do you remember that you came back and had to totally reestablish your family and friend network? Do you remember that about yourself? Do you remember, Jesus, that you lived in the hinterlands, way out in Galilee, and everybody knows there's nothing worthwhile out there? Do you remember that you grew up way out there in Galilee? Do you remember that your kind of religion was looked down upon by the big city folks in Jerusalem? Do you remember that about yourself, about your family? Do you remember, Jesus, that your people have been under the tyranny of the Roman Empire all these years? Do you remember the taxation that has put us underfoot? Do you remember the violence wrought on your ancestors who stood up and rebelled and said, we're people too and we matter? Do you remember that about your history, Jesus? That is you. That is your story. You're a real person with a real history. And guess what? All politics is personal. And so when Jesus comes to the river in this story today to make what has been private public, what has been personal political, you better believe he had an agenda. You better believe he was absolutely clear about his core commitments. You better believe he had an axe to grind. Now, if that isn't fascinating enough, and if you want to learn more about that, I would suggest Dom Crossan's small book, Jesus, A Revolutionary Biography, if you want to hear about Jesus' real beef with the empire. As if that wasn't interesting enough, that Jesus comes to the river with that. Now, don't forget, nobody's thinking Jesus is God at this point. That's Jesus' issue. And Jesus shows up at the river, and God claims this person with this set of politics as God's son. Are you connecting the dots here? God is claiming this life with this trajectory, with this set of experiences, with this political posture as God's son, as the bearer of the good news of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that has a particular shape, a particular set of core commitments and priorities, a particular set of values. It's not up to us to define the kingdom of God, right? Jesus has done it. It's Jesus' kingdom, and Jesus shows up to the river to join this Johannine movement. JBAP baptizes him into the movement of repentance and open rebellion, resistance. The kingdom of God is a resistance movement. If we don't understand that, we're missing everything. It is a resistance movement. We are light in the darkness. We are citizens of a kingdom that has a particular shape to it, a particular set of core commitments, a particular set of practices. And we will spend the rest of this church year seeing the person of Jesus embody the values and the practices of that kingdom. That's what all these stories are about. And we take our cues from those stories. That's why we bother reading the Bible. That's why we do it. And it's important that we do it. That way it shapes us rather than vice versa. Jesus shows up at the river. He's had a life. He's got a whole set of experiences. He's got political interest. He's got a political agenda, and it grows out of his personal experience as a real person. That's probably true for all of us. This particular Sunday, when we celebrate and honor the baptism of our Lord, we do so recognizing that that Lord showed up, had his life's experience, his vision of the kingdom affirmed, claimed, and incorporated into the heart of God. God claims it. My son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The kingdom has a shape. That's what we remember on this Sunday. Additionally, we remember on this particular Sunday, we remember on this Sunday at the feast of our Lord's baptism that Jesus shows up and reminds us that all politics are personal. We're not to be afraid of that. We're not to deny that reality. Jesus shows us that all politics are personal, that the politics of the kingdom have a shape and an origin, that we're invited into it to grow into the full stature of life in that kingdom. Jesus reminds us on this feast day that all politics is personal. And we're further reminded, as members of that body and citizens of that kingdom, by the grace of God, and with fear and trembling wading into the messiness of our political lives together, not prescribing, but always aspiring to the justice, to the kindness and compassion and the beauty of the kingdom, we are reminded that just as all politics are personal, so too we persons, are inherently political. It's nothing to deny. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to prescribe. It is the basis of the hard work of coming to know the heart and the mind of God, of aspiring to that kingdom, of desiring to participate in making it real. That is why the church is here. That is why you're here this morning. That is why we pray together, Thy kingdom come. Amen.